This is Jenny Allen, and you are listening to the Made for This podcast. Guys, it is such an honor today to have Sydney McLaughlin Lavroni here. She is, as you many of you know, she has won 2 Olympic gold medals. We have enjoyed watching her run since she was 16. She was the youngest athlete at that time to run track and field in the Olympics. Yeah, I mean, my husband said, Jenny, they're like having to create races for her because like make up races because she keeps breaking all the world records and where do you go from there? So I'm so honored to have you on. And my favorite thing about you, Sydney, is just how we've all celebrated it as you have just given God so much glory on your path. And so thanks so much for being here.
Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
I want to talk a little bit about you and just your mindset. Right now on the podcast, we're talking a lot about emotional health and emotions. And I can imagine that you've experienced a lot of emotions that might be even inhibiting or you had to deal with as you run at that level. What has that been like for you?
Yeah, the book talks a lot about it, just in terms of, you know, for so long, kind of those emotions consuming who I was in terms of just being afraid of my results being tied to who I was and my identity and, you know, my value being found in whether or not I was a winner and whatnot. So a lot of fear over the years, but, you know, Christ has been kind and helping set me free from that and allow me to walk and, in this case, run in faith. But those emotions can, yeah, definitely lead to some dark places if they don't have anything to be rooted in.
Yeah. So the book is called Running from Fear to Faith. There must have been, for it to be in the title, like you, there must have been some significant feelings of fear. To overcome those, what did that look like for you?
Yeah. It honestly looked like surrendering my life to the Lord. I grew up in a Christian household, but, you know, my faith was not really my own, or it wasn't, you know, I didn't understand the gospel. The veil had not been lifted from my eyes until COVID. And that for me was, you know, when the Lord was kind to reveal himself to me through the gospel. And it looked like a lot of, I mean, being a renewed creation and setting your mind on things above, like Colossians 3, just the word really just washed me clean of a lot of those thoughts and feelings and emotions that I had. And it's always, you know, it's my source now of how I overcome fear, you know, those fearful moments. Opposite of fear is faith, and just being able to stay so firmly rooted in that has helped me a lot with some of those moments where the fear creeps in.
Okay. So take us back to the race you were very, very most nervous about.
Oh man. I would probably say, oh, that's a hard one. I think there were so many growing up. Seriously, I would probably say maybe the Olympic trials in 2016. You know, being 16 years old, trying to make the team, that was terrifying to me. I didn't feel like I deserved to be there, that I was prepared to be there. And, you know, was racing against some of the best women in the world who were a lot old, you know, older than me, more mature than me, had better training than me. And so the enemy was definitely attacking me in those moments. But by the grace of God, still somehow, I think the Lord showed me that this is what I was called to do, even though I did not have an understanding of how he wanted me to do it yet.
So when you're about to get on the, what do you call it?
The track, the block.
The track. I mean, just, I was thinking the box. Yeah, the box.
Yeah.
And you got to do this. You've got to perform. What do you do in your head? I know what you do now, but back then, when you go back to the most nervous you've ever been, like what did you mentally do to get through that moment?
Even back then, I would always tell myself, God's got you, you know, God's got you regardless of this moment and what happens. And he gave me such a natural instinct to compete that whenever I would get on the line, that would always take over. It was just getting there that was the hard part. And so it was very clear that even in those moments, I knew he was with me. I didn't know what that really meant or looked like for a long time, but I would just repeat to myself, God's got you. Like, let's do it.
Well, I mean, you've got to have felt a lot of happiness in this journey as well. What are some of the moments that just you couldn't believe yourself?
I would say, you know, Tokyo 2020, just breaking the world record for the first time at the Olympic trials. That was a surreal moment. Just so much went into that. I remember that whole meet, we were praying as a team beforehand, me, my coach, my trainer, my husband, or he was my boyfriend at the time. And, you know, just right before that last race, we just knew something special was going to happen. And we just felt the presence of the Lord with us. And so being able to go and break that world record was just unreal, to take it under 52 seconds, and how he's just used that and propelled it has just been amazing. But that was a very joyful, surreal moment.
You're in a moment too with marriage and a new book and Olympics again. I mean, what's your life like, your daily life? How are you juggling all of these new things?
You know, some days are busier than others, but I mean, everything is just an opportunity. And it's a very busy season of life right now, with the Olympics coming up, with the book releasing, my husband's in seminary right now. So we have very full schedules, but I mean, all of these opportunities are wonderful. And so being organized helps, being in prayer helps, and just taking it one day at a time so that we steward what we've been given well.
You're a strong woman and have accomplished a lot. I'm very curious about your husband. What is he like?
Oh my goodness. If you thought I was strong, oh my goodness.
Really?
Andre is like not only physically strong, but like also the biggest encourager. I mean, he helped disciple me, just like so biblically, you know, inclined, and just a wonderful speaker. I think he's perfect for seminary and going to make a wonderful pastor, you know, God willing, one day. But yeah, he is my rock, and I'm so grateful for just how the Lord's brought him into my life and allowed our lives to move in this direction. Because it's every day is just growing and sanctifying, and it's just truly a blessing.
Okay, let's talk about the book a little bit more. What made you want to write a book?
Yeah, when the opportunity was presented to us after Tokyo, I wasn't sure I was ready to write a book. I was like, I don't know, like 22 years old. I don't know how much, you know, at the time I was 22. I didn't know how much I really had to share. But being able to, you know, have the opportunity to share my testimony in such a broad way and reach so many people, I was like, this is not about you. You know, the Lord will use it. His word will not return void, and it will reach who it needs to reach and encourage those who it needs to encourage. And so, I've dealt with fear my whole life, and I wanted to share how Christ has set me free. And I pray that it'll encourage somebody else to seek him, because our inheritance really is far beyond gold.
Do you feel fear about anything anymore? Do you feel like you've faced the biggest fears there are to face, and now, you know, what is there to fear?
I think fear is in this world. It's always present, and there's always going to be, you know, opportunities and things that'll come about that will present fear. But I think it's how do you combat that? You know, what
right.
in that
yeah.
moment is your solace and your rock. And for me, that's the Word of God. That's prayer. That's Christ. That's renewing my mind and bringing his truths into the picture. So I think, yeah, fear is always going to want to creep back in. The enemy's never done trying to attack you, but it's how do you combat those in those moments?
Here's the deal. With everything that Jenny and I have going on, especially Jenny, with books and podcasting and so many other things, the last thing on our minds was how to build an online store. And so now we have been selling Theology with Shopify for many years, and it is so easy, all because we use Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. Even from the moment when we started Theology and started to sell Jenny's kids' books to, oh wow, this is actually a thing, and we're shipping out hundreds of sets of Theology, all the way, Shopify was there to help us grow. No matter what you're selling, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers because they have the internet's best converting checkout, which is 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. For a small ministry team, Shopify has done so much of the heavy lifting for us, and I honestly can't imagine doing it without Shopify. No matter how big you want to grow, Shopify gives you everything you need to take control and take your business to the next level. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/madeforthis, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/madeforthis now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/madeforthis.
When you go to the platform God's given you, has it been ever hard to talk about him? Because you seem so bold.
Yeah. I honestly think it's the Spirit of God working in me that brings the boldness. I'm not naturally a talker, and I'm not naturally a very vocal or outgoing when it comes to certain things. But I mean, the gospel is meant to be shared, and it's meant to be shared with everyone. And I think when I, you know, got saved, my perspective shift of what is my purpose in life, and that is to share the goodness of the gospel and Jesus Christ and what he offers through salvation to the world, that track and field is my opportunity to do that, you know, and this book is an opportunity to do that. And so I can do it boldly and unashamedly, as the word talks about, because there is an assurance that comes with it. So the Lord will use the word how he sees fit. And all I have to do is be obedient and share it.
When you go back to little girl Sydney.
Yeah.
And she realized she was fast. When was that?
That was, oh man, I think that was probably when I was like 6 or 7. Okay. That's when I started running. But I remember I went to the Junior Olympics when I was 7 years old. And that's like all the kids from across the U.S., like in all the different age groups, you race your age group from the best, you know, the best of the best in the country. And I think I got 2nd place. And you know, the girl who beat me, she was amazing, and she was on a team and she trained, and my parents didn't really train us. They just let us go run for fun. And, you know, I think I knew, like, okay, I love this and I feel like I'm good at it. And I feel like,
yeah,
you know, I want to pursue this moving forward. And so, yeah, I think my parents knew also at that time, like, okay, she has a gift to run.
What did you feel about it? Did you talk about just more of what you felt about running? Like, did you just love it? You love beating people? Did you just love running? Like, I mean, who loves the hurdles? Like, that's what I'm saying. My kids run, and so I know a lot about the hurdles, and they scare the tar out of me. I can't imagine.
Oh my God.
Like, entry into the hurdles, because
the hurdles didn't come until later. So that was good. Yeah. They were a little later in life.
You had too short of legs at 7, I'm sure.
Yeah, I was not clearing that at all. But I think what I love about running is the freedom that I feel during those moments. I feel the presence of God move when I move. And so even at the age of 6, I do love to compete. I will be honest, I'm a natural competitor. I do love to win, but I've learned that what I love is the feeling internally when I am on that start line and the gun goes off, and the freedom that I experience going around the track.
So when you're the best in class, like you are, how does that impact like relationships and friendships?
Man, I mean, I have a wonderful support system and some amazing friends that are very supportive of what I do. And I think, that's the only way you can keep going at this level, is to have such wonderful people around you. And I'm so grateful for that, because at the end of the day, like, it takes a village to do a lot of these things, you know, and it's not just me. And I think over the years, you know, friendships, some friendships come, some friendships go. That's a part of life. But I've definitely found some wonderful, solid, godly people who have just continued to just be, you know, rocks in my life, that have just, we've grown relationship over the years that don't even talk or pertain to track and field, really, you know, just like life itself and who you spend your time with. So yeah, I think as I've grown, I've developed who I am. And I think that's a part of friendships, is like knowing who you are. And for so long, I didn't know that. And I think that's kind of helped me figure out who it is I gravitate more towards.
So who are you?
Great question. I mean, first and foremost, I'm a daughter of God, and I love to, I mean, outside of track and field, which is obvious, I love to write poetry. I'm learning how to cook. I'm learning how to bake. I'm learning how to be a seminary wife right now, you know,
right?
So many things besides running around an oval. And yeah, I mean, I really aspire to be a mother one day. Like, I can't wait for that season of life. And I'm super into arts and crafts and all those kinds of things. And I truly do love genuineness in people. And I think I gravitate towards people who are very genuine. And those are the friendships I try to build and have long lasting. And so, yeah, all things that I'm just continuing to grow and learn in as I mature.
Is Olympic years, are they your favorite?
They are my favorite. I think they're also my least favorite at the same time. Yeah. you know, it's a long year and it is a weighty year, but at the same time, it's a blessing. And this is what I've wanted to do since I was a kid. So I take it very seriously and I'm excited for just how it brings like the world together, you know, and just having, you know, family and friends and the best athletes from all over the world compete. It's just such a cool representation of all of the abilities that God's given everybody. And so I love being able to, you know, be a part of that.
And this year it's a new race, right? You're doing one you haven't done in the Olympics before. Is that right?
I don't know what I'm doing. Honestly,
oh, okay. My coach,
we're not there yet. He likes to keep things interesting. So he's just going to have me prepared for whatever. And when the time comes, we'll make a decision about, you know, what makes the most sense for us. So
what do you do after an Olympics? Do you go celebrate?
Yeah, I think my husband and I want to take a vacation, you know, like just the two of us. And we, like I said, it's such a busy season of life. Would love to just get away and take a nice trip and, you know, just kind of decompress from everything before we get back right back into it, you know?
Talk about perfectionism. That's one of the things you talk about in the book. And I think a lot of people relate to. That's also served you well, I imagine. It's both, right? It's a curse and a blessing.
Perfectionism, everybody wants to be great at what they do. They want to do it well. And that's biblical, you know, but at the same time, it can consume who you are if you allow it to. And so, you know, we're not perfect. We're never going to be perfect. Christ is the only perfection that we can visibly see or even, you know, strive to be towards. And that only comes by, you know, the renewal of our spirit daily. But I think I'm at a point now where, yeah, I'm aware that it's never going to be perfect, but I can work hard towards what it is that God's called me to, because ultimately it's Him who brings the growth and not me.
Taking care of your health isn't always easy, but it should at least be simple. That's why for the last year and a half, we've been drinking AG1 every day, no exceptions. It's just one scoop mixed in water once a day, every day, and it makes me feel energized and ready to take on the day. Each serving of AG1 delivers my daily dose of vitamins, minerals, pre and probiotics, and more. It's a powerful, healthy habit that's also powerfully simple. Every single week, I have at least one person, a friend, a family member, send me a text that's like, "Chloe, do you really drink AG1? Does it really work?" I actually do, because every morning it's just one of those like one-step decisions that I do for myself to make sure that I'm giving my body what it needs to go throughout the day. With every scoop of AG1, I know I'm getting brain, gut, immune health support with vitamins, probiotics, nutrients from Whole Foods, and the thought of taking so many vitamins and supplements and mixing and matching all the different types of powders, greens powders, is exhausting. Just one daily scoop of AG1 in my little AG1 shaker bottle covers all my nutrient gaps and supports my mental and physical health without all the hassle. If there's one product I had to recommend to elevate your health, it's AG1, and that's why I've partnered with them for so long. So if you want to take ownership of your health, start with AG1. Try AG1 and get a free one-year supply of vitamin D3K2 and 5 free AG1 travel packs with your first purchase exclusively at drinkag1.com/madeforthis. That's drinkag1.com/madeforthis. Check it out.
I think about the impact of just the relationships you probably have even with other athletes. Talk about just those, you don't need to name names, but like, have conversations come up that, you know, I just would think that everybody relates in that situation where you've got so much pressure on you.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's a real thing. And I mean, there's so many athletes who, especially in the US, like, they know that our team is very hard to make during the Olympic trials. It's one of the hardest teams to make. There's so much talent and it's a lot of pressure. You know, there's only 3 spots available for each event. And there's been conversations with athletes of just, you know, dealing, how do you deal with this? How do we go about this? What scriptures have helped you in these moments? Mm. What have you been reading, you know? And just being there for each other and being able to see past the fact that we're competitors, but we're also people, and we're, you know, there are sons and daughters of God who are on that track as well. And that's been the most rewarding, just being able to talk and to really like connect on that level.
Do you get to connect with the athletes from other countries in any deep way? Are y'all kind of living together? What's that like?
Yeah, I mean, there's been competitions. There's a wonderful high jumper from, I believe, Australia, who's a believer, and she's amazing. She's started Bible studies at certain meets and stuff, and we've been able to connect and talk, and it's just cool to see such talented people from all over the world and see what God's doing in their lives. So it's just, it's unreal to see all of the impact that that's had all over.
So you're going to really, I mean, when you're looking at the issue of perfectionism, you probably still have to carry part of that with you, right? Like that pressure. It's not escaping the pressure. You're going to live with the pressure forever. So what's the new relationship with pressure? What do you feel about that word?
Yeah, I think we live in a world where, like you said, it's always going to be present. And, you know, like we talked about earlier, it's how you combat that. But it's always an opportunity, I think. It's an opportunity.
Yeah.
To show, number one, the genuineness of your faith, and to show, you know, how are you going to deal with this? And so I think it also can fuel you to a certain degree. Like these moments are opportunities to grow. You know, can I handle this better than I handled the last one? Can I handle this Olympics better than I did the last one? You know, so like things like that.
Okay, let me stop you there. What would that look like for you this year?
Yeah.
Different than the last one.
That's a wonderful question. I think last Olympics was, it was a great Olympics. Obviously it was a COVID Olympics, so I didn't have friends and family there. But I think this year for me, just being a little bit more present in the moments. Mm. I think, you know, when you're competing at this level and you're so focused on the only task at hand, it's very easy to forget that this is like a once in a lifetime opportunity that God's given you. And I can be so focused on what I'm doing that I forget to look up. And I think I want to be able to be present and just be like, God, thank you for all of this. You know, like see my friends, see my family, see the wonderful competitors all over the place, and not forsake the moment as it's coming, regardless of what the result is.
I mean, that's fun to hear as we all prepare to watch you. And I'll pray for that for you, Sydney, because that I get that you're living in a pretty surreal life in those moments, and you've got the whole world watching. I do think the whole world is really cheering for you. I think it's fun to watch you. I think you are, it's so fun to watch someone humble and yet the best. Even if you don't believe in Jesus, you make God look good. And I'm so grateful for that. What would you say, you know, we're winding down a little bit. I want you to talk to the perfectionist out there that's listening and going, I can't even deal with my college tests. Like, I can't even deal with my job and disappointing my boss. Like, I'm not even close to the pressure you feel with the world watching you. What would you say to them today?
Man, and I've been there in a lot of moments, but the reality is, and it sounds crazy to say, is that we've all fallen short of the glory of God, first and foremost, but we all fall short every day. And so God's not calling us to be perfect. He's actually calling us to lean on Him. And sometimes when I know for myself, when I try to be perfect and do everything in my own strength, I'm actually being selfish and thinking that I don't need God. And I think it's a joy to be able to lean on the one you're intended to lean on, and to know that you don't have all the answers in and of yourself. That is the humility of our need for the gospel, is that we are not self-sufficient. We do need Him. We do need His wisdom. And so I would encourage you to look internally and ask yourself, am I doing this out of pride, or am I doing this because I want to please God so badly that, yeah, I want to be perfect? And my encouragement either way is that that's not His intention for you. His intention is actually to have faith that He will lead you and that He will give you what you need when you don't have it.
You've crossed over into making history now. So you will be remembered. Not everybody can say that, certainly at your age, that they will be remembered. You will be remembered after you're gone. What do you want people to say about you?
That she loved the Lord more than she loved anything this world had to offer. Oh,
I want to pray for you. Can I pray for you?
Absolutely.
God, I just thank you for Sydney. And I just know every single person listening and every person that will encounter her in real life and watching her run, God, sees you. And I just thank you for that. And I just pray, God, that this Olympics would be the most fun she's ever had, that it would just feel like when she was seven and when she was running and she just loved it and she knew she was good at it. God, I just pray for all of the ways you are using her life. Would you protect her from the enemy? Would you give her clarity, focus, confidence? Would you continue to give her eyes for the people around her, God, that she's already impacted in so many ways? And I just thank you for her life and how fun it is to watch it and to cheer for. In Jesus' name, amen.
Did you know that Jenny has a YouTube and we post videos up all the time? And so go to youtube.com and search Jenny Allen. We'll make sure to post it in the show notes as well. Share it with your friends. Pass it along to someone today. And we're so glad you guys were here. Thanks for listening to another episode of the Made for This podcast.